I just like to know other people's process. I'm like, do y'all go through this too?
Yeah.
That's what I always want to know.
Oh, yeah. I have to, like, put my phone up. Like, I have to really... I'm like, Harrison, my husband, I'm like, you can't talk to me today. Like, because I can't be controlled.
Welcome. It is kind of a dual podcast. I have the photo17.com, Carolina Photography Podcast, JaegerShots.com podcast as well. This will get cut up. The guest at this moment, the one and the only Shayna Basin Hawkins now, as of a few months ago.
Yes, it's June.
What was it like getting married in Mexico? Was it like technically a challenge?
It was amazing. I always...
Okay.
Always tell all my brides, go destination. However, I don't recommend getting married in Mexico in June because we sweated an ungodly amount.
Was there a problem with getting any gear down there, anything like that? Because I've heard some horror stories. As far as transporting gear and people wanting ID or so. I mean, what's the credentials for working? Yeah, that kind of thing.
Well, thankfully, no. My videographer was from Utah. His name's Cooper Thacker. And he... My planner had like forms and everything, and we signed everything before we came.
Okay.
And so he flew right on. He did his drone. He never had an ounce of trouble.
Nice, nice. And you said you had a planner. All right. So let me back up just a little bit here. Tell the people who don't know exactly what it is that you do for a living.
Yeah, we just kind of like jumped in like we've been
talking
for 3 hours. So I'm Shayna. I am the owner of Blue Edge Videography. So, and Shayna Hawkins Portraits. They are separate now. Blue Edge Videography is wedding videography primarily, some commercial things here and there. But Shayna Hawkins Portraits is all of the photography work that I do.
Oh, nice, nice, very, very nice. So this is for the cutouts to put onto the social media. You do weddings, video, and photo, right?
No, just video.
Just video. Okay.
For weddings, I only do video. I specialize in wedding videography.
But you're still a photographer as well.
That is confusing to people. That's why I split my brand. I did. Shayna Hawkins Portraits, it's its own thing. I do senior photography, and I do like a lot of like studio, like fashion and things like that.
So where I'm going with this is that a lot of people don't do both. And so I see why it can be confusing, but I also have situations where people assume that you do both. It just totally depends on who it might be talking to. Give the elevator pitch for, we'll just stick with weddings right now. Why should someone go with wedding video? Because I feel like people still aren't on board with what wedding video is today. Their thoughts are from the 80s with VHS camera mounted shoulders, and they just do not know what the scene is like. Give us the elevator pitch. Why get a wedding videographer?
Oh my gosh, we could be here until next year and I could talk about
three
this.
Sentences or so less. Let's try that. Okay.
Honestly, I'm just gonna give you what I truly believe. Your wedding day, you spend so much money, so much time planning it, you don't get to see half of it because you're tucked away trying to hide from the groom. You are constantly talking to people. I mean, it's a full day. When I give my films back to my couples, you wouldn't believe how many people say, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that happened. I never even saw that. So it's really like getting to relive your wedding day and be a guest whenever you get to watch the video. Like you get to see everything from start to finish, all the stuff you pay for, flowers die, the memories you won't remember because it's so much adrenaline and so much stress. The only
here
thing
it goes by fast.
All you have at the end of the day after your wedding is photo and video. Why would you not pay to have that? captured well.
That is the greatest answer that we needed right there to that question. You practice what you preach. Since I never did the wedding thing, you did. You had the photo, the videographer right there. So yeah. You practice what you preach.
Yeah.
What's that old hair club for men thing, which might be before your time. I'm not just the owner, I'm a client. It's one of those kind of deals.
And like when I got married in Mexico, a lot of our family couldn't go, like the older people. So
ooh, that's
the video
yeah.
was just like, they got
that's how
to
they're gonna
be a
see
part
it.
Of the day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I have looked at your social medias. I see you as an influencer. Here is the criteria I'm going by that says you're an influencer. I don't know how you feel about the word. It's a heavy word to some people. But if you put out, ask me questions, you get responses. Now, for me, my questions I might get is, did I cook the food? Or am I just putting pictures of a frozen food box up to show that I cook food? That's about the extent of the interaction I get on all my social media. But you get legit questions. So I just gotta know. Thank you, V. I'll start to blush. That's all it takes. Checks in the mail. But I just want to know, who has influenced you, influencer? Who do you take your cues from? Is it a person? Is it a place? Is it a thing?
Well, once again, I can give you so many things. I will say that when I first started, so I went to school for marketing, and I've always dabbled in like video and stuff. Me and my siblings were running around with the video cameras when there was tapes in them, just making random movies.
Nice.
Yeah. So when I was doing marketing, I was still dabbling in it as a hobby. And mm-hmm. Peter McKinnon, I'll tell you my three people who made me do the leap of quitting my job, my 9-to-5 job, and starting my own business. Indie Blue. I don't know if you know who that is, but
I've heard the name.
She's an influencer, and she started out in like, she does clothing and stuff now, but she used to be video, and she did travel videos, and it was just like the best thing ever at the time. Yes. So Peter McKinnon, obviously, because he's
definitely
just awesome.
Know Peter
and
or know of.
Back in the day, his tutorials were like everything everyone needed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then,
straight fire.
The other person is Rory Kramer, and he is a videographer who has done a lot. Now he's like he goes with Justin Bieber a lot on all of his adventures. But those were the three people that like influenced me and caused me to start a whole career and start a whole fire, you know?
And it seems like it was the right move. Do
yeah,
you tell
I'd
people to do the same thing, or do you try to tell them that it's not as cushy as some might think? I still run across people who really think we do absolutely nothing but press the button, who seem to think it's playtime on every shoot. I don't know why they would think that, but they still exist.
I will say that when I started, the market was not as saturated as it is now. Mm. Videography was just kind of starting up. I started at a wonderful time.
Yeah.
Now everyone wants to be a video influencer. And I mean, your iPhone has the most amazing quality video now.
So true.
And so I get a lot of people who don't understand how much of an investment it is in good equipment and mm-hmm. what it takes. I'm still learning. I take courses all the
Same.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm constantly trying to better myself.
Mm-hmm.
And like learn new things, because there is so much to learn all the time. And so it frustrates me whenever people start up and they go and they grab their Canon Rebels.
Everyone's favorite. I got two sitting over here.
I started on a Canon Rebel. I'm not hating.
Not at all. No.
And I started, you know, with my prices where they should be, and I've climbed. And mm-hmm. I think that nowadays everyone just kind of has the mindset of, oh, I'm already the best. I'm going to
totally.
Think that way. I don't want to learn from you. I want to be your equal.
Yeah.
And so I just don't have that type of outlook. Like if I shoot with somebody and I know that they are good at what they do, I want to learn.
Oh, totally. For
you
sure.
Know, I'm excited.
I would say every 6 to 9 months, I might get a message from someone who be like, ask me a question about photos. And unfortunately, some of them immediately within hours or days are like, well, how much should I be charging? And I'm like, do you know how to turn a camera on yet?
Can you shoot in manual?
Really good, legit question.
Yeah, tell me. Practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect.
Totally.
I remember when I started out on my little Canon Rebel, I literally posted all over my Facebook page and was like, I will do your photos for free. I did. Right. I can't tell you how many giveaways and things I did for free just to like get experience to make myself feel like I could charge.
Same. And now if there's a certain situation I will discount, like if you want to take me to the top of, we'll pick a beautiful mountain place. I will try to work something out because I want to go and I want that in that portfolio. Yeah. We will work something out. It's still there with that.
I still do that. Like if someone says my wedding's in Europe, I'm like, okay, pay for my plane ticket. I will do your wedding for free.
Coming over.
I have those few spots like Ireland. There's a few places that I will go for free if you just pay my plane ticket.
Same. So I want to ask you next, what is your editing process app-wise? What are you using, a computer? What computer are you using? Apple PC person? Is it the Adobe ecosystem? Are you in that one? Is it something else? I guess we'll say for video.
So, yeah. So for video at the moment, I'm all Adobe.
All Adobe, all the time.
It just... And I don't love Adobe. I really don't. I think that
No one does.
But it's just like you learn in Adobe and it's like, oh, I do not want to have to learn another system.
And it's such an industry standard. So many people use it. You're never going to feel like you're left out because the industry does use it. Even Apple uses it, and they have Final Cut Pro, which is kind of hilarious.
Which I don't love. I do not love. I've tried Final Cut Pro. And I don't love it. If anything,
feels
I would
like
switch.
A toy. I don't like how it feels, the interface. I can't put my finger
it's
on it.
It's like an iMovie on crack.
Yeah. I think we're saying the same thing with different words.
Yeah. That's what
DaVinci I switched like over to last year.
Yeah. Oh, you switched to DaVinci?
Last year. And it was a learning curve and still is.
I really want to, but I'm just...
To
I'm
color,
not prepared.
To practice your coloring, it's the app. Adobe can't touch it yet, but I got the 422 10-bit. I'm sorry I asked you the question, but now I'm telling you. And you have the 422 10-bit. It is really cool to color grade that stuff and get just a little bit more control over it and a little bit more dynamic range off of S-Log. So that is why DaVinci kicked in there. In editing, you can kind of customize it to work like Premiere, because that's where I came from. Premiere was probably my favorite app forever. Yeah. So it was kind of tough to leave it, and now I'm a little rusty with it, which feels weird because I used it since 2017. So what are you using on the photo size, I guess? That's Lightroom, Photoshop?
Yeah. So I do Lightroom for all of like my mass editing, and then I pull into Photoshop when needed. But I actually do have, I'm trying to think, it just left my mind. I have a culling software that helps me, and it goes through the photos, and it'll take anybody with closed eyes, and it'll put.
Is it narrative or somebody else?
No, it's something.
Mine's called narrative. Something. You have the face. I've drawn a blank on what it is.
I'm trying to think about it without having to close this out and look at my computer. All I can think about in my mind is Capture One, and that's not it.
They've got culling.
It'll come back to me.
Yeah, I just got on narrative last year, too. That's how it always goes. Culling, I didn't realize just how great it is until doing it. Because I had a method with Lightroom, but really that culling and narrative picking was who's blanking and things out of focus. That is such a time saver. And it just makes sense. And also narrative, to a certain extent, is free. So I do recommend anybody use that one. Okay, so we got the Adobe apps. We've got the unknown culling app. That's your process.
The unknown culling app. Yeah. We'll figure it out, guys.
I had no idea you did not do the wedding stills, just video. I did not know that. Is there a reason that you won't tackle both, not at the same time on the same day, but just don't offer both.
I just don't love doing wedding photography. And also, I feel, now, don't come at me, everybody. Don't come at me.
But hey, I've got some moments like that coming up.
I just feel like it's better when you're able to put all of your focus on one thing. Your product is better. What you're going to make comes out better if you're just thinking, what do I need to do? Because video is a different mindset than photo.
Totally.
100%. Yeah, you have to think about lighting in a different way. You have to think about a lot of different aspects, audio. And so when you're switching back and forth, or if you have a second, if you have a person who can do that, one do photo and one do video, then that's fine. But if you yourself are trying to do both, that is a storm.
That's something else. Tell it to a guy who's done it, but haven't done it in a very long time. It's not for me. Still photos, way more work on a wedding day, but video is way more prep before and way more editing afterwards. So that's kind of how it breaks down for me. I don't have a percentage on it, but I would say 90-ish if I had to throw a percentage. Yeah. That's kind of how I look at them.
The editing part of videography is excruciating because for me, I have severe ADHD, and so sitting in one place for that long is just, and once I get going on something, I can't stop. Like, I want to finish that edit because my mind's in it. I'm on the road, I'm on the map, and I'm ready.
For me, I will procrastinate and then get into it, and you cannot rip me away from it. I had to sometimes have like a little timer, like my dog Renegade remind me to stand up, walk around and move, because I will get so headstrong in the video editing. I didn't know. I just like to know other people's process. I'm like, do y'all go through this too? That's what I always want to know.
Oh, yeah. I have to like put my phone up. Like, I have to really, I'm like, Harrison, my husband, I'm like, you can't talk to me today. Like, because I can't be controlled. And also, what you said about standing up, I bought a desk that stands up.
Oh, the electric ones? Yes. Yeah. I've been eyeballing one. I wanted one with wheels on it. And because I wanted those wheels, it was way more money. But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah. We need like seven different episodes.
Yeah, I'll just break up photo, video, literally hybrid shoot, if that's even the phrase anybody uses anymore. Just meaning photo and video. Yeah. It sounds cool to be a hybrid.
Yeah, I'm a hybrid.
It's like speaking two different languages. So I was going to ask, do you run into anybody who's okay, I gotta phrase it right. Are you taken aback by people who don't do photo and video but treat the other like it's the plague, like it's just something they're putting a cross up and they're like, I won't go near that photo video side of my camera, that dial, I won't switch it over. Do you come across that?
So you mean like people who are like against photographers that are like against videography?
Yeah, they're like, I would never open up and take a still photo of a videographer, vice versa. I just do not treach or go in those waters. I know treacherous. I don't tread over there and just really stay away from it. Because I've come across those situations too. And I'm just like, guys, it's literally a dial on your camera. You can be in the video world with a dial turn. Do you come across that when talking to people?
I will say with weddings specifically, it is frowned upon because I think there is a little line you can cross of being rude, because if you aren't hired to do photos and you're hired to do video, then I feel like it's kind of rude to be taking pictures when you weren't, they were hired for that. Like in my contract, it says, and almost everyone that I know, it says that I am the sole videographer hired and no other companies will be hired unless they are hired by me to accompany me.
Well, where did you figure out to get that line in your contract? I don't know if I've got that one in mind, because I never thought anyone would have more than one. You're right. I'm making a note over here.
What ends up happening is they hire Uncle Chad, who has a camera, and he's going to take some video too for them, and he's going to do it for free. But he wants to be beside you and do the shots with you. And
I'm
hired for the day. So I have to be I have to be very specific with that kind of stuff, and photography too. But on another aspect, I will say that I get a lot of photographers that kind of, I will say, look down on me a little bit, and they'll be like, your videos are so good. But then,
it's a little
like,
condescending.
Kind of shady towards me about my photo work. It's like, I've had someone say, yeah, you're only, usually people only really shine at like one.
I think you were definitely saying, well, I did such a poor job setting up. You're giving me the answer.
I've had it. And you know what? You just, you smile and wave because at
Bless
the end of the day, you have clients. Yeah. And they
yes.
love their photos. You love their photos. People on the internet love their photos. What
I love your photo and video as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it comes down to people just being self-conscious of themselves.
Yeah, totally. Oh, it is an interesting thing I come across. Have you been in a situation where you're on the TikToks, the grams, and you'll see some meme, yeah, where somebody is talking about the videographer talking about the photographer flash getting in the way, or photographers with jokes about getting in the way of them? And I'm just kind of like, I don't know where to fall here. I can't heart this.
Yeah,
like I'm in between both worlds.
And I know it can definitely get frustrating in a wedding.
Oh, for sure.
Especially
for
in
sure.
small spaces.
I got horror stories.
Yeah, me too. In like really small spaces, and you both want the shot. But my best advice to anyone is to get long lenses and be respectful. And if that is the case, stay in the back of the church and get long lenses so that everyone can get their shots without moving in front of others' cameras, or just stay shoulder to shoulder and shoot together.
Just want to hop in here real quick to tell you about our little piece of the internet. It's JaegerJohns.com, where you can go and pick up your very own photo, video, and channel theme apparel. Also, some of those New York art prints from way back when. They're still available all right there on JaegerJohns.com. Now, back to the show. Have you noticed a change in more venues that aren't churches? And I guess just wedding venues, your rustic farm type settings or outdoor places. I've seen that shift a lot. I got into it, I don't know, 06-ish is when I started. So I definitely seen it just completely shift over. So it's almost rare for me to be in a church nowadays. Have you seen the same thing happen?
For sure. Oh, yeah. Everyone goes for venues now. Even if someone does do a church wedding, then they go to a venue afterwards for the reception, which is usually a big barn. And because we're in the South, that is a major thing. I will say churches are usually very hard to shoot.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. From the seats or pews, lights.
It's the color of the carpet.
Yeah.
The skin tones, the red carpet, the green carpet, the echo. I mean, it is endless.
It's a lot.
Churches are very, very hard to shoot.
It is a lot. For anyone who wants to test just how good they are, go with that church.
And you will find out. Doesn't allow you to bring your own lighting. Then you will really have
man.
A challenge.
Wowza. A couple of the Catholic churches I've been to have specific places to stand, and of course they would be huge. So luckily I had a 200mm lens, but it's interesting to work those places, and you're only there for a little while, but wow. I gotta ask one more thing.
Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
I will say, I really do love shooting weddings, but out of the whole day, the ceremony is the part that gives me gray hair.
Yeah, for sure. There is a little bit of an exhale moment after the ceremony is over.
Yeah.
I feel like it goes through the whole crowd.
Yeah, it's like, woo, we've done it. I hope all my cameras worked.
Yeah. That's gonna keep
later.
You up.
Oh, yes.
Do you still fly your drone? Because I have had a problem with the drone just slightly changing and becoming a little bit of a headache from the standpoint of, can I put it up in the area? Will the app DJI let me do it? Are the venue looking for some kind of documentation that says I can fly? Another problem I run into, which I'm not complaining. I'll talk about drones. I'll do a whole podcast about drones. But generally, when it gets in the air, that's when someone really wants to have a deep dive on drones. And they can only stay up so long. Like my older one's like 7 minutes or less. It needs to be down. Yeah. So I can't quite arrange shots and just do basic photo video stuff. Do you still bring yours around? Do you still have a problem with, I mean, not still have, do you have a problem ever that you run into? Is it in your contract that you will do a drone? Do you guarantee it? All those questions I have for you.
Okay. So, yes, all of my wedding packages now have drone in them. Mm-hmm. But I do have a clause in my contract that says whether and like the area permitting. So I've done weddings next to airports and like, or down the road from airports. And I'll say, listen, I'm in a no fly zone. There's really nothing I can do. And what mm-hmm. I'll usually do is I will just get a really wide lens, stand way back from the venue, put that bad boy on a stabilizer and move in slow, hold it high above my head. Guess what?
We have an affordable legal drone shot.
And I've been trying hard. I saw something on, it was TikTok or Instagram, and it was like, if you are still starting every wedding video with a drone shot, you are in the past. And I was like, dang it. I do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of, oh man, they're stepping on my toes here.
I was like, dang, you know what? That really, I do that a lot. I need to try to get more creative, I guess. And so I always throw in a drone shot, but I try. Sometimes I make them at the beginning, but I try to throw them in other places now.
They are great, though. They're so good when you can pull them off. I'm just giving my personal beef that I have. But I do know people who aren't used to cameras or video world, and they are still really blown away by drone shots, too.
Yeah.
So I don't want to poo-poo on anybody's excitement on drones. Not at all. Yeah.
Beautiful. I've had a few weddings where, like, a guest, uncle, we'll call him uncles. Brings his drone, and I'm like, okay. And then he's like, hey, I'll send you the footage for you to use. And I'm like, okay.
All righty.
Thank you. And I'll get in, and it'll be like.
It's like, what did you? Is there anybody?
No, and I'm sure they're like, why didn't she put my shot in that video?
I was like, pacing. It just did not flow well.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think I asked you 1,500 drone comments. I think you nailed it down. You might have a future as an editor for crazy questions that I dream up. So thank you for being able to roll.
That's one thing I am good at. I'm good at talking, and I talk a lot.
Do you ever feel like going into a wedding, do you feel nervous when you're going into like families, or it doesn't even have to be a wedding, it just be a simple one-on-one or family photo shoot? Do you get the butterflies or nervous excitement?
I do get excited. I really do. When I'm going, I always, you know, my biggest thing is I always am so paranoid that I have left something at home. That's my biggest. So I created a checklist. I've created it on Canva, and I go through, I mean, down to every battery, and I have beside each battery, I have them labeled A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. And I have beside each battery if I have charged it or not. And when I pack it into the bag, I check it off.
Nice, nice. I am in process of getting ready to shoot Saturday. I'm doing a little bit of that, getting it situated. I got stickers on things as well. Yeah. I keep a note app with the essentials to make sure that getting them in there. That is just key. That's what would keep me up at night.
I think I get more butterflies whenever I edit and I'm about to send somebody their video. That's when I get my butterflies because I'm so pumped and I put all of this love into this video and I'm like, please love it as much as I do.
And ultimately it's for them. I was like, okay, you got to tell me you like this or give me some reaction so that I know. Then it's like another version of exhaling.
It is. When they send back, they're like, if they love it, I'm like.
I got another one for you on the wedding day. Sorry, we're way off script, but.
No,
I've heard people
fine.
say, Alrighty. I heard people say that as far as getting new clients on a wedding day, some say they do it by conducting or just orchestrating getting the family photos or the group shots. Some might have another time of day. For me personally, I think I earn a look or at least a reason to give a business card out during the reception, during party time, when people are cutting loose. And if they see you having a good time, that kind of transmits something positive to them where they might want to work with you. Do you have a part of the wedding day that does that for you?
So,
or you think you get new business, new clients, I mean?
I think where people, I've had this comment a few times, where people come at me the most and want to work with me, they watch me through the day and I'm running around. I'm never just sitting there, and unless I'm eating or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I get there, I capture everything I see.
Mm.
And if I see grandma in the corner doing something cute, I'm going to drop my cup to be able to go over there and go see it and capture
yes.
it. So, and I think people see that, and they see the intent I put behind. I just try to remember, like, what if this were my wedding day and that were my grandma? Like,
right,
I would
right.
want that on video. And so I really try to stay on my feet as much as I can and capture as much as I can to give them back. I mean, the best.
Like, and they're scouting you all day long.
Yeah. And, like, in the party scene, like, yeah, I think that's one of my favorite spots, too. Like, I'm on the dance floor in the middle of the circle while people are, like, in my camera. And you know, we're sober as we can be, but we're acting like we're one of the drunk ones. We're out there wobbling. We're out there doing.
Out there with people that you really don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like being at a club.
Party.
I don't know who anybody is, but let's party. I don't know if I sent you this question beforehand.
Yeah.
I have a thing I call my grandma moment. But my grandma moment was my very first wedding. And the bride was like, go get my grandma. I was like, I don't know who your grandma is, but I did not know how to handle that situation. Mid-20s, first time out. Didn't think to have like a shot list of family members. Do you have a grandma moment thing where you're just like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do right here, but they seem like they want me to handle something.
A lot of times I'm now always bring a second shooter or a assistant with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really good about that now. So because there's extended family, sometimes there's a stepfather, sometimes there's, you know, four different families involved. They might be adopted. And and they could have their real family there and their adoptive family. So I will just say, hey, to my second shooter, I'll say, grab a bridesmaid and go tell her to point out everyone to you who they are.
Nice.
Bridesmaids know everything.
Yeah, you have the system figured out, ma'am.
Yeah.
Now, wait, how long have you been doing the video, like year-wise, wedding video, or just shooting in general with the camera? I don't think I got that from you before. Just how many years has it been now?
So I got my first, I'll say, okay, Blue Edge has been a business for 5 years and some change. But I got my first camera probably, I mean, my first camera, but my first Canon Rebel I got, I would say I was in high school.
Okay.
A hot minute ago.
So it's this thing I want to, anybody to know is you might see someone who's doing some amazing work, but understand they've been working with cameras for a while. It was not at all overnight.
Yes.
A lot of years has gone into
manual until after I graduated from college. I just shot auto. And on my little GoPros and did like that kind of thing. But I will tell you, I dedicated those years of learning how to do manual. I was on YouTube every day. I mean, for hours watching and just going out and grabbing my friends and making them do dumb photo shoots and like just practicing on people.
Yeah. And that's what we do. So that's what we do. But I'm going to transition into what the computer does. It's time for the AI portion or chat. And I like to tell anybody, no matter what you think about AI, you've probably got a point. If you think it's evil, if you think it's helpful, you might have some truth in there. I'm not sure. What do you think about the AI boon? And man, did it come quick. I didn't know what ChatGPT was January last year. Now it's huge. I didn't know it could do photo until like March last year. And now this year we got video of Sora, also from ChatGPT and OpenAI. What do you think? Are you hiding under the table? Feel fearful of the tech? What's your thoughts?
I'm actually not. I got to tell you, Photoshop AI, what a blessing to me. To remove items, to make backdrops bigger, to add things when I need it. I will say a lot of the times it does not work the way I want it to.
This is true.
But when I need stuff removed, I mean, it is pretty accurate. And
content aware.
That used to take, oh my gosh, how long did you spend removing something out of the background of a photo? I mean, you could spend up an hour sometimes.
I don't know why it took Lightroom so long to get content aware to remove things. Like, you used to have to send so much to Photoshop, and now Lightroom's getting all those features in there that it should have been had. So, yeah. Okay, so I am of the belief of it's all in the hands of who's using the tech, because the toothpaste is out the tube. The kids are pregnant now. You're not going back. AI is here.
That's with everything. You can apply that across the board. It is the user's problem if it is being mistreated.
Totally. Totally. 100%.
And I think, you know, I haven't even used AI video yet.
It's just the ones we can access is not very good. Some of the fancier ones still in beta. I know for a fact, because they say on their site, they probably had 100 horrific nightmare fuel abominations before getting something that looks good and presentable. They're all really short clips, but this tech is going to get better and better. Some say they feel like it's soulless and lifeless sometimes, but I know plenty of movies made by humans that are soulless and lifeless. The whole argument on stuff being stolen to create this AI work. Okay, well, that's a conversation right there to be had for sure. Legal copyright, that is something right there as well. But you do have your AI that can help in the medical field as well for diagnosing things for people who might be sick. Yeah. And it can probably help a lawyer out going through different court cases to track down information quicker. So I think we're just back to it's in the hand of the user, exactly what they're doing with it, for if it's going to be evil or helpful.
I don't love the idea of like someone being able to make a video of me doing things without my permission and putting it on the internet, and then it looks like it's me. It's a real video. It looks real. Yeah. So everyone automatically thinks, you know, it's me.
And I've been AI this entire time. So I'm not even real. Yeah.
So, I mean, someone could really hurt people's reputations in that way if you think about it.
Oh, easily. Super easy. Do you have access to the photos I sent you? Let's play AI or not AI off of these three pictures. I sent them to your IG, so you can probably check it out on your phone. And it's so complicated
how I did this. I haven't even looked at them yet, so this is the first time we're looking right now.
All right. It is just 1, 2, 3, first photo, and there's a second. And
first photo, AI for sure.
AI for sure. What do you see that's tipping you off?
The woman's face in the back is not even a human face.
Okay, I got that one after blowing it up because I didn't see it at first. Like, first glance, I did not detect that.
The reason why I saw it was because of the door. Look at the door from far away. It is split into two.
Yeah, that's what got me at first.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the
second one. Look at his fingers. Ooh.
It's always got the pointed weirdness of the fingers. I'm not sure why fingers are such a problem.
I always look at the hands to see if somebody has Photoshopped something.
Uh-huh.
The arms and the hands.
So this leads me to a thing where I think people who are photographers, videographers, whatever special effects artists are more and more important to try and detect, is this photo bogus or not? Because you just would have a little bit of a sense of how lighting can hit things and just composition on what should happen. AI struggles with cause and effect sometimes. So I think someone who's used to looking at photos and who's done photo editing work can have a much easier time. So I don't think it's replacing us. I do think we might be more useful than ever, but I'm just might be biased on us.
Okay. I don't think we're going anywhere.
No, I don't either. Not for a very long time.
Not without a fight.
I don't know who to shoot. The servers, unplug it, throw water on it. What do you think about the third and final photo?
If it is AI, they did a good job there. I can't find any. I think this is a real photo.
This, ma'am, is an AI-generated photo as well. We saved the trickiest one for last. I've noticed it's terrible text, right, and writing on things, but if the text is in another language, then uh-oh, you're not 100% sure what's real or not. But all of these came from the same Reddit page from, I'm not sure if it's one person or a group, Kudzui has been working on these very lifelike AI photos, and you're still staring at it. You're like, I'm not sure this is his AI. That's how it did me. But
I'm gonna need
that
some
is...
proof. I need some written statement from these people in this photo.
I think again, it's the hands aren't quite reacting to what
so
she's
they're
holding
saying
these
there. People are not even real.
This is an AI-generated photo. This is 100% an AI-generated picture. It's definitely not a guess. This was made by a Redditor. I'm not sure if it's one person or a group.
I guess if you look at... I mean, she...
You got to stare at it.
She even has... Well, her... Okay, the girl on her right has kind of... Her eyes are a little bit off. But, man, that could be a real human. I mean, people have eyes that are off, you know?
For sure. For sure. So... Sorry to scare everybody.
They even put acne on her. Like, this is...
I will send you the Reddit link so you can see even more of them from this Redditor. Wow. But he had some earlier in January that was crazy, too. It is. It's really wild, wild technology. All right, you've played AI or not AI. You got 2 out of 3. That's pretty good. You get it like a no prize.
And the third one is still a little bit questionable, but
we're about to wrap it up here. Hit my microphone. Okay. I said this is Jaeger Shots Podcast. We're going to play a little something called Shots Fired, where we have five controversial rapid-fire questions for you to answer. And if you answer within 25 seconds or less, again, a nice no prize, but you might win the ire of the internet. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm going to put 25 seconds onto my clock. Yeah, okay. Stopwatch that you can't even see. All right. It's going
to
be like Steve Harvey.
I need to be able to see it.
It's going to be Family Feud style where I take up time reading the questions. But it's
I thrive in this. I love Family Feud. I'm ready.
That is one of the few I still want to go on, game show-wise.
I need a button. Here's the button.
Have the hand behind the back like we're challenging you to a duel.
I'm ready. Let's
go. Right. I'm starting the clock after this. Five quick rapid-fire questions. Oh, my screen down. Okay. Number one, best camera brand?
Sony.
Gimbal or IBIS, in-body image stabilization or warp stabilizer? Which is best?
Gimbal and warp put together.
Is it pronounced bokeh or bokai?
Bokeh.
No one
but
knows.
I'm a country bumpkin, so don't listen to me.
All right. Flash or natural light photography?
Eesh. I'm really loving flash lately.
Okay, all right. That's not wrong. We're way past 25 seconds, but hold on.
I thought you meant that you were going to ask me five questions, each getting 25. I needed to answer five in 25 seconds?
In 25 seconds, but it's all right. You had a terrible setup partner here in me who did not explain it very well. I explained it poorly.
Redo.
I actually didn't even have the prop for my fifth one within arm's reach. But because it is not that great of a question, we can stick with four rapid fire question and answers.
No, I was ready. I need you to make five more. Like, I want to do this again.
Yes, again. Hopefully, you will take mercy on me. I said 20 to 30 minutes. I know I've wasted way more time than that.
No, I'm having so much fun. It's okay.
The pain is over. I want you to, again, I like to have the play play on the word shots with Jaeger shots. I want you to shoot your shot. Please tell everybody why you're amazing at what you do. How can they book you? How can they get in touch with you? And let the people know that we are friends and we are not competing. As yeah. I feel like some tribalism sometimes with people. It's like yeah. Ford, Chevy, Xbox, PlayStation. No, that is not yeah. the case. So we both know I there's truly, abundance in the system.
Yeah, and I love having friends in the industry. I learn mm-hmm. so much from my friends. Like, I want to link up. I want to second shoot for you. I want you to second shoot for me. Like, yes. I want to have friends in this industry. And if you get a wedding, I am your biggest cheerleader.
Right on. Yeah, sister.
And anyway, Z-snap. And I, yeah, yeah. And if you don't have that energy, move on.
Yeah, this is not for you. It is so much fun to shoot with friends on a shoot day. You. Mm-hmm. Let the people know. Okay, do they get in touch with you on the gram?
Yeah. Let me tell them how to get in touch with me because I forgot that part. All right. So I'm Blue Edge Videography on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm Shayna Hawkins Portraits on Instagram and Facebook too. So you can follow me on both accounts. I have a website right now. I'm building the other one. So just inquire through www. Mm-hmm. And why you said, why should they hire me? Because I'm
yeah, shoot
so
your
much
shot.
Fun.
Tell them.
I'm so much fun. Look at us. Duh. Having fun.
Yes,
we're having a good
it's
time.
A good time. Once we and learn how I to cut that camera on, yeah. we're okay.
Yeah, I won't pump myself up over here. You can go and decide for yourself on my social medias.
Ooh, the I'm not gonna put myself up pump up play. I got
you decide. You just decide for yourself.
Hey, this is so much fun. I will come up with more questions. I will actually prep for my questions a little bit better and skim them down a little bit. But you did such a great job interpreting everything, though. Please hang out with me again here on the airways. I'm going to end that record button. It has been so much fun to kick it with you.
Thanks for letting me be on here with you. I've had a good time.
Thank you for working through all the technical stuff of a newbie. God, I'm the old man coming back to podcasting. Thank you. I'm sweating Crisco all over here. But
thanks for having me. You've been fabulous.
Until next time, everybody, have a good week.